only thing we have to fear is...
In war, there is no substitute for victory.
Let us never negotiate out of fear.
We stand undivided, forever united, fighting hand in hand for the liberty we earn, for glory and honor, for our sons and daughters, ever mindful of the lessons we've learned. Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. This is Wall Builders Live. Thanks so much for joining us today. Visit our websites at wallbuilders.com and wallbuilderslive.com. One of those is the radio website. That's the Wall Builders Live website where you can get a list of all of our stations, archives for the last few months, and a lot of other great information. And then wallbuilders.com has a wealth of information and materials available to you. So check that out as well. I'm Rick Green here with David Barton. We're looking at things from both a biblical and historical perspective. And today's Friday. So on Fridays, we try to bring you some good news from across the nation and around the world. Normally, we throw out a ton of different pieces of good news, and David and Tim have stacks of good news to share. But today, one particular story we're going to focus in on. And David, it's our friend Ken Ham over at Answers in Genesis.
Yeah, it's a cool story. And of course, we've had Ken Ham on before on other things, not the least of which is that opening of the museum and how many folks go through there and how much of an impact it's had. But this is a really different kind of one because he's building a theme park. I mean, a massive theme park, hundreds of acres kind of theme park, a Disneyland kind of theme park in some ways. And so that makes him eligible for a program they have in Kentucky where that if you're something that creates jobs within the state and you bring tourism in, then they give you these tax incentive kind of things to help you do that because they want business in Kentucky and they want to promote business and encourage business. So here you've got this massive creation theme park that's going in, and they qualify for this incentive program because they got all sorts of employees. They estimate it may be 2 million visitors a year that it brings to Kentucky. So everything's going really good until one of the secularist groups pops up and says, whoa, this is a religious group. You can't give them a tax incentive. Now, that right there, that's kind of time to stop for a moment and say, okay, let's review just a little bit. Because when the founding fathers created our documents, they showed a preference for religion. When they gave the Declaration of Independence, they didn't say, okay, for you religious guys, we're going to mention God four times in the Declaration. And for you non-religious guys, here's your declaration that doesn't mention God. And they didn't say, let's have two constitutions. In one constitution, we're going to say that we did this in the year of our Lord. And in the other constitution, for you secular guys, we won't. So all the way through, from the founding fathers' own, we officially acknowledged and we preferred religion over non-religion. We were not to be a secular nation. George Washington told us that if you want your politics to prosper, then the things you don't get rid of are religion and morality. So we had that going, and then that changed in the 1970s. In the 1970s, they said, well, that's not really fair for the secular people. So here's our new policy. Religion and non-religion, they have to be equal. If religious people can do it, non-religious people get the same rights. And if non-religious people can do it, then religious people get the same rights. So that means if you can give a tax incentive to a non-religious group, then the religious group also gets it. Now, of course, that would not have been an issue back in the founders' days, but now we're going to treat everything equal. But here we are today where that being treated equal with non-religion, that's way too much preference for the secular guys. They're saying, whoa, it can only be the non-religious that get these benefits. The religious can't have them. They don't get any of the rights that we non-religious do, and everything has to be non-religious. And so Ken ends up in a lawsuit over whether he can be treated equally with a non-religious group. You know, that in itself is really astounding that we've come to that point.
I'm sorry to jump in on you, buddy, but it was only religion was the only reason they started turning them down, right? It wasn't that they got in there and go, the project's not quite as good as we thought it was going to be. We're just not going to approve this. It was, wow, this is a great project, probably going to have more visitors than anything else we're doing in the whole state. But, yeah, these are praying guys. These are religious people, so we better strike them. We're not going to do it.
So in my short lifetime, we've gone from being pro-religious to religion neutral to now being anti-religious. Well, obviously, this ends up in a court. And in a court, the court actually went back to the founding father days and said, what are you doing? Are you kidding? We have a First Amendment here. And your First Amendment gives you hiring protections. It gives you Christian expression. It gives you equality with the secular, at least, at a minimum. And so this ruling comes down that says, no, you guys definitely can have the state tax incentive program, and you qualify for it, and you guys can enjoy it as well. So it's really a Good News Friday kind of a program, because this really is a great ruling that moves something that is clearly religious back into a status where that at least it's equal with non-religion. And that's a big improvement from where it's been in recent years.
Yeah, would you say, is it fair to say it's basically a complete repudiation and pushback on religious discrimination against Christians?
Well, it is at this point. Now, it's not going that way in every court.
I mean, in this particular district, in this particular area, this case is a repudiation of that.
This case is a repudiation, and it's a repudiation where that in the case itself, it actually goes back to founding principles. And that in itself is a great movement, a great direction. And by the way, if we want to have any more rulings like this, we better pay attention to the presidential election, because the next president is going to be choosing judges that actually read the First Amendment or that rewrite the First Amendment. So that's a big deal. But at this point, we actually have a judge who has read the First Amendment and actually understands it and has upheld it. And of course, that's good news for the Creation Museum theme park.
Oh, I really like the way you said that, too. We're either going to get someone that appoints judges who read the First Amendment or rewrite the First Amendment. That could not be more clear, the different types of philosophies and the different types of judges that we will get. Well, stay with us, folks. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, Ken Ham will be our special guest. Stay with us on Wallbuilders Live.
Hi, this is Tim Barton from Wall Builders, and I want to let you know about a special opportunity that we're extending this summer. We're opening up our facilities, and we're inviting 18 to 25-year-old young people to come and be a part of a unique 2-week intern training program we offer. And this isn't a traditional intern program like so often we think about. This is a training program. Every morning we open up and we have guest lecturers come in, my dad, myself, other Wall Builder speakers, current state elected officials. We take different outings. And then every afternoon, we utilize our unique original source library, and we do research projects. And what our goal is we want to help educate young people in the issues of American history and government and politics and the Constitution, even a biblical worldview, and inform young people in the midst of a culture that attacks their worldview, that attacks American history, that belittles government, and so much of what we deal with, we want to help strengthen and encourage young people. So if you're interested, you can email us at intern@wallbuilders.com or get more information on our website. Site at www.wallbuilders.com.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wallbuilders Live. We got Ken Ham with us from Answers in Genesis and also the amazing, amazing Creation Museum. Ken, always good to have you on, brother. Thanks for coming back on.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
Hey, so you guys just had a great victory for the First Amendment and, frankly, for people of faith all over the country. Y'all are facing some challenges there in your community with your new Ark Encounter theme park.
We certainly were. In fact, we are building a life-size Noah's Ark, which will be an incredible tourist attraction. And that's the very issue that really involved all of this. But the tourist attraction aspect of it is going to bring in about 2 million people a year into the state of Kentucky. And the state of Kentucky actually has a tourism tax incentive program. And what this is, for tourist facilities that actually do job creation and have a positive economic impact on the state, they then offer this tax incentive, which is a rebate on sales tax the facility generates. So it's only sales tax generated within your facility, and you've got to open and get people coming, and then it's after 12 months, and they give you a percentage of that over 10 years based upon how much money you put into the project and based upon, you know, what the effect is going to be. It's a win-win for the state. They get tourist facilities to build in the state, and then they get all this economic impact out of it. And, you know, state governments, counties do this sort of thing all over the country, give these incentives to try to get businesses and other places in there.
And they're just giving you back some of what you create in terms of the sales tax, right?
Yes, it's only the sales tax created within your facility.
Yeah.
And we actually were approved for this. The state consultants approved us. And then what happened was the Americans United for Separation of Church and State put pressure on the then governor of Kentucky, and we've got a new governor now, and the then Secretary of Tourism, saying, wait a minute, they're a religious organization, and they're going to be telling people about Jesus Christ and the gospel, and you can't give them that tax incentive. Now, keep in mind they'd already granted this tax incentive to many other tourist facilities, the Bourbon Distillery Museum, Kentucky Kingdom, the Speedway, and many others. And so we actually then got a letter from the attorneys for the state and the Secretary of Tourism actually making statements that we see that you're going to be presenting the message of Jesus, you're going to use it for evangelism, you're going to try to save people, so we're denying you this tax incentive. And also they said, we see that you hire people on basis of religious preference, which we certainly do at Anson Genesis. We're a Christian organization. You're not going to employ an atheist to run a Christian organization.
Right.
And they said, you can't do that either. Well, we decided enough is enough. You know, Christians are losing freedoms all across this country. We need to stand up for what we believe. And so we took them to federal court, took the state of Kentucky to federal court on the basis of two particular things. One, the First Amendment, it guarantees the free exercise of religion. People seem to forget that part of the First Amendment, the free
right.
exercise of religion. And we said you can't treat Christians differently to others. You can't say anyone gets a tax incentive, but Christians can't. I mean, we live in this country. We pay taxes, too. You can't do that to us. You can't treat us as second-class citizens. And second thing is, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 specifically gives exemptions to religious organizations to enable them to have religious preference in hiring. So we went to the federal judge with this. And what happened was he ruled 1 year later, which is just recently, a 71-page ruling, which people can see on our website, or it's available in other places too. It's going to become a published ruling. A 71-page ruling, which our attorneys say is one of the best opinions they've ever seen on First Amendment issues. And the judge ruled in our favor and said, you have to let them participate in this tourism incentive tax rebate program. And based on two things, one, First Amendment, free exercise of religion. Second, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, 1964. He said you can't treat Christians differently. That's a facially neutral program. So it was a real win for Christian freedom. A lot of the secular news didn't make a big issue about it because, you know what? When we were denied the tax incentive, they made big news about it, headlines across the country blasting us because we're a Christian organization and trying to participate. You know?
How dare you, as a Christian organization, actually participate in the public square?
Oh,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, we got blasted in the newspapers, secular media. But as soon as the judge rules in favor of us and has a 71-page ruling that is extremely detailed, very well written, it got some news out there, but they didn't want to say too much about it because they don't like Christians having victories. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, no doubt. And not only that, it reinforces the idea that the First Amendment absolutely applies to Christians and that we are protected and exercising our faith and should not, as you said, be treated as a second-class citizen. So they certainly don't want to repeat that narrative.
No, they don't. And you know, of course, you hear over and over again the phrase separation of church and state, and that's what the state of Kentucky used. You know, this is separation of church and state. And, of course, that's not in the First Amendment at all.
That's right.
And it's just someone's misinterpretation of what's going on here. And so, you know, we just believe that we needed to stand up for our Christian freedoms here, and we did, and the Lord obviously blessed, and the judge ruled as he should have ruled. In fact, our attorney said, if he rules according to law, then this is a slam dunk, and it was a slam dunk. And the interesting thing is we've had an election since then. We now have a new governor that supports free exercise of religion, and he says he is not going to appeal the decision. They're going to let it stand. It'll become a permanent injunction, and so sets a real precedent.
Oh, that's great, man. That is a fantastic victory. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Ken Ham, our guest today, Answers in Genesis. We're going to talk about how you can be part of going to visit this new facility in the Ark Encounter. Stay with us here on Wall Builders Live.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court recently overturned the jury sentence of a man convicted of the brutal murder of a 71-year-old woman because the prosecuting attorney had mentioned a Bible verse in the courtroom. Yet consider what happened in the 1778 case, Respublica versus John Roberts. Thomas McKean, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, was the Chief Justice of that court, and addressing John Roberts after the jury had sentenced him to death for treason, McKean told him, "You will probably have but a short time to live. Before you launch into eternity, it behooves you to repent of your evil deeds, to be incessant in prayers to the great and merciful God to forgive your manifold transgressions and sins, to teach you to rely upon the merit and passion of a dear Redeemer." This prominent founding father actually delivered a salvation message to the defendant in the courtroom.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wall Builders Live. We got Ken Ham with us from Answers in Genesis talking about their new Ark Encounter theme park. And Ken, the Ark Encounter is going to be right next to the Creation Museum, right? So you can go see both at once.
Well, it's actually 45 minutes away, so not too far away from the Creation Museum.
But if I'm coming from Austin, Texas, that's almost right next door.
Well, yeah, basically. If you're coming from Austin, Texas, it is next door, right? And the Creation Museum is on 70 acres. But the Ark Encounter is actually on 800 acres.
And
it's on Interstate 75. It says exit 154. It's halfway between Cincinnati and Lexington, right at the interchange at the town of Williamstown. And, you know, the Ark Encounter is an incredible facility because our research indicates up to 2 million people a year will come to this. And the Ark itself is going to be the biggest, the correct terminology is timber frame structure in the world. And by timber frame, it means using a post and beam construction, using the heavy timbers, a big log. Some of the trees that are used in the construction of this are up to 200 years old. They come from beetle-infested forests. And they're using the mortise and tenon joints. So we designed this, our architects and engineers designed this as a wooden ship based on how wooden ships used to be built. But it's based on a wooden ship then built as a building. And it's built 15 feet off the ground, so it's 510 feet long, which is 1.5 times the length of a football field, 85 feet wide, 51 feet high. From ground to the roof is about 8 stories high. It anchors to 3 big towers that hold the restrooms and the elevators to keep all that out of the wooden structure. And also they have the exit stairs in those towers. And there's 132 exhibit bays in the Ark. So there's going to be all these world-class exhibits that are so unique. It's just mind-blowing. We've got like 100 sculptors and fabricators and artists and designers and all sorts of interesting people who, some of them worked in Hollywood, and they said, this is levels above Hollywood in regard to quality. This is going to be absolutely staggering, and it's going to be a world attraction. Our researchers indicate outside of the Disneys and the Universals, this is going to be one of the greatest attractions out there. 3.1 million board feet of timber, and the timber frame structure itself is being built by the Amish because they're the people that know how to do this. And so it's an interesting mix of people we have working on this. You've got masons for all the masonry work and plumbers and electricians and carpenters and concrete workers, and so it goes on, steel people. You've got all sorts of different people working. And then we have a team of Amish working on the timber frame structure. So very unique in the world.
This is a massive project, Ken. I got to ask you, I mean, great success with the Creation Museum. Our family absolutely loves it. When did you have the idea for the Ark Encounter? How long ago was that? This has got to be many years in the making.
Well, yeah, people over the years, you know, ever since I've been involved in this ministry, the last 40 years, people often said, wouldn't it be great to be able to see Noah's Ark or someone build Noah's Ark or see what it looked like or whatever. So when we were actually coming up with the Creation Museum and started building, stepped out in faith to build the Creation Museum, back in 2004, we were looking at what our priorities would be. And one of the things we talked about was building an Ark. And we thought we were going to build it here at the Creation Museum because that's something we, you know, I've talked about for a number of years about, you know, wouldn't it be great to build an Ark? And then in 2005, we said that's going to be our top priority after we opened the Creation Museum. So as soon as we opened the Creation Museum, we started working on building the Ark. And it all came together. It's all taken time, of course, to be able to get the property and to be able to get all things in place. We had to find people who could build the timber frame building. We had to find also the architects who could design it because it's a very special sort of design. It's just amazing all that came together. There's only one timber mill in America that can even do all this because it has the biggest CNC machine in America, and they're able to get all the big, heavy timbers. And you'll be interested in this too, and that is that we're going to open it July 7, and I said that to the media. We had a press conference down at the Arc, and I said, look, all our construction schedules, it all fits with the fact that we can open July 7, and we chose that date because Genesis 7:7 states that's when Noah and his family entered the Ark. And we said, how about we open it on the 7th of the 7th? And you know what's fascinating about that? The media really like that. The secular media all over the world have printed Genesis 7:7 when they give a report on this. And they're opening the Ark on July 7th because Genesis 7:7 in the Bible says, and Noah and his family entered the Ark. So that's one way to get the secular media to print God's word.
That's great, Ken. That's fantastic. I saw on the website. And by the way, folks, you want to learn more about it, go to arkencounter.com, arkencounter.com, and you can go ahead and get your tickets for this summer, learn how to get there and where everything's going to go, how long you need to plan to be there. But I saw on the website, Ken, NASA could put three space shuttles nose to tail on the roof of the Ark here.
Yeah.
That's how big it is.
It's enormous. It absolutely is enormous. And, you know, that's a good thing because – you know, in a lot of Christian books, Noah's Ark is pictured for children as a little bathtub ark with giraffes sticking out the chimneys about to sink at any moment.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, they get the idea it's just a fairy tale, it's just a story. I've already had non-Christians involved in the entertainment industry that I take down to the Ark and they stand in front of it and they go, wow, I didn't realize it was so big. And that opens up the conversation to talk about how Noah could have fitted the animals on board. He only needed two of each kind, not all the different species of land animals. And we're going to have exhibits that answer those questions anyway. But when they see the size, it actually makes it feasible to them. And they start to say, maybe this really did happen. And that's the whole point of it, of course, to open people up to listening to God's word.
Well, and that was what I wanted to ask you last, is just the real purpose here, because with the Creation Museum, that certainly was accomplished. I mean, you walk through there and so many of your questions and things that have been challenged over the years get answered. It's so well done and so powerful. And I expect the same of the Ark. And I mean, this is a, you know, tens of millions of dollars project. Folks that want to help, can do that as well. This is something that's going to educate for generations and I think have a very positive impact on our culture. So all of that's available at arkencounter.com. And, Ken, we're certainly looking forward to bringing our family out and seeing it. And just thank you for your vision and frankly, your tenacity. I know you've had to hit a lot of hurdles in trying to get this done. And this court victory is a fantastic step along the way.
Well, the Lord has certainly shown us that what men mean for evil, God means for good. I've seen that many times in this ministry.
Amen. Amen. ArkEncounter.com. Ken, always good to have you, brother. Let's get you back soon.
Okay. Thank you. Anytime.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with David Barton. Have you ever wanted to learn more about the United States Constitution, but just felt like, man, the classes are boring, or it's just that old language from 200 years ago, or I don't know where to start? People want to know, but it gets frustrating because you don't know where to look for truth about the Constitution either. Well, we've got a special program for you available now called Constitution Alive with David Barton and Rick Green. And it's actually a teaching done on the Constitution at Independence Hall in the very room where the Constitution was framed. We take you both to Philadelphia, the cradle of liberty in Independence Hall, and to the Wall Builders Library, where David Barton brings the history to life to teach the original intent of our founding fathers. We call it the Quick Start Guide to the Constitution because in just a few hours through these videos, you will learn the Citizen's Guide to America's Constitution. You'll learn what you need to do to help save our constitutional republic. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's going to inspire you to do your part to preserve freedom for future generations. It's called Constitution Alive with David Barton and Rick Green. You can find out more information on our website now at wallbuilders.com.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wobblers Live. We're back now with David Barton. David, great interview from Ken, and so excited about this thing opening. A great victory for Good News Friday to talk about, but also great news, just a Good News Friday, the fact that this thing is being built, that people are going to go and learn and get to see the truth of our faith and where we came from.
And by the way, isn't it interesting what Ken said, and that when the state denied the tax incentive, the media carried that across the nation. I remember seeing that.
Oh, yeah, right.
But now that you get this astounding ruling that is absolutely First Amendment, as they said, one of the best they've seen, absolute
nobody
solid.
Nobody covers it.
The sound of crickets. So that is, again, that preferentialism for secularism over religion. But nonetheless, the court went the right direction. But I loved what Ken said about having people out there and seeing that. Said, whoa, that is so big. Now I actually understand that the Bible might be true. And that's such an astounding statement because just last week I was looking at a big national survey on Bible reading in America. And in that survey, Rick, do you know what percentage of Americans say that the Bible is the inspired word of God?
Man, in this culture, I would be afraid it's low. Maybe 35%?
85%.
You're kidding.
Do you know how many people actually read the Bible?
50%.
9%. So we have a great respect for the Bible itself, but we just don't really know what's in it. So we've been
I've been blaming the lack of application of the Bible on pastors, but if we're not reading it ourselves, if only 9% are reading it, how could you possibly apply it?
See, we've been told the Bible's a good book and it's God's word and you respect God's word and we believe that. 85% say this is an inspired word of this Bible comes from God, but only 9% read it. But things like what Ken has there with the Ark and with the Creation Museum, it does give some basis for people saying, that's what the Bible means. Hey, this is cool. I'm going to read that. It's not just a book of fables after all. I see how this could really work. So I think it's really good for the apologetics of our faith in the nation as well. But it is great news on a Good News Friday.
Yeah, all the way around. Lots of great news for you there, folks. There's more on our website at wallbuilderslive.com. Click on those archives and grab some of the other Friday programs. We sure appreciate you listening to Wall Builders Live.
We stand undivided, forever united, fighting.